For our reading this morning, I'd like us to turn unto the first book in our Bibles, the book of Genesis. And our reading is found in Genesis chapter 6. And I'd like to read the whole chapter and then through into chapter 7 and verse 10. So let us now turn unto the Lord's word and read as it is found in this opening book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after, that when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, that they bare children unto them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made him. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was also corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shall thou make it. And I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shall thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee, that they shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee all the food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for a food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean, two, the male and his female, of the fowls, also of the air, by sevens, the male and the female, to keep the seed alive upon the face of the all the earth. For yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance I have made I will destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to unto all the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth. And may the Lord God bless the reading of his holy word. Amen. I'm sure we're all familiar with the story of Noah and the flood in our Bibles. It's one that's often taught to us when we're children. It's one that's often found in children's Bible stories and is told by parents unto their children. Yet within this remarkable account, in this opening book of the Bible, there is to be found much teaching for our own benefit, indeed blessing as well. Now, as I'm sure you're all aware, these events are spoken of in only the 6th chapter of the Bible. These are relatively early days in the life of the earth, as if it were, in comparison to all of earth's history. And indeed, the effects of the flood that occurred in Noah's day can still be seen today, and scientists can still speak of them as well. Now, I'm sure we wonder what the days would have been like in Noah's time. I half wonder if this was to occur in modern day, whether someone was to build an ark to save the animals from upon the face of the earth and to save his own family. I wonder what today's media and the world would make of it. I'm sure the media and those round about would almost term Noah a lunatic, mad, crazy, and say unto him, "Where is your God?" However, as we'll soon find in this passage, Noah was one that feared God rather than man. He was indeed a lone voice amongst men at that time. And indeed, this has often been the case throughout the ages. There has often just been one voice that crieth. Indeed, as John the Baptist, that lone voice that crieth in the wilderness of the coming of Christ. And as I said, within this remarkable account, we find it teaches us of much of God's truth. It teaches us things concerning salvation. Indeed, it teaches us things concerning Christ. It teaches us things concerning living by faith. And with the Lord helping us this morning, I would like to look at Noah and his building of the ark and the run-up to the events and of his entering into the ark, and see what can be learnt for ourselves according to this character. Perhaps the first thing we need to do is to establish who Noah was. And indeed, if we know our Bibles, we'll see that in that preceding chapter, which we started to read in chapter 5, the line of Noah is given. And we can see he comes from that line of Enoch, that one who walked with God and who was ascended up to God and knew not death. He came down from the line of Methuselah and then Lamech, and was the son of Lamech. And indeed, he's described as one that walked with God, just like his generations before had walked with God and knew God. Noah is to be found one that walked with God. But what can be said of the times that Noah looked in? Indeed, chapter 6 and verse 5 gives us a very apt description of the times that Noah lived in. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil and continually. Here, in only the sixth chapter of God's word, is given a very apt description of man's heart and his ways before the Lord. And indeed, as our brother prayed only during the prayer meeting, this is a verse that resonates so well with our current day and age. We see men and women doing things which are right in their own sight. We see them saying there is no God. We see them saying, where is God? We will do what we want in our own sight. They seek to trample under their very feet God's word. And these things, if they grieve us, how much more must it grieve the Lord? For indeed, in the next verse, we read, and it grieved him. So, this sets the scene of the days that Noah lived in. We have established that they were exceedingly wickedness. Wickedness was abounded on every hand, and the evil was great in that day. Having had this description of man in general upon the face of the earth, what is then said of our character? And indeed, we come down to that next verse, and we come down to verse 8. And this chapter is interrupted here by this little word, but. And so often in God's word, words like this arrest our attention and cause us to stop and ponder something else. And we're told here, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Having had this description of man at large, we find there is one of God's chosen people in the midst of this evil and wicked generation. Noah was one who had been favoured and chosen by God despite the evil upon the face of the earth. And just as a little aside upon this point, in our Bibles, this is the first time grace is actually spoken of. It's obviously not the first person to have grace, but it is the first time it is specifically mentioned in God's word. And it is spoken of our character in consideration this morning, Noah. And here, amongst this wickedness, we have this character, Noah. And indeed, it's perhaps a description of this day and age. There is just one lone voice crying. And as I said at the start, so often throughout the ages, down through indeed the word of God, in Bible history, coming down into church history, has often been the voice of one that speaketh, or this few here and there. And perhaps this is one time when we can truly say, if God's people have been in the minority, surely the time of Noah is one. For we only find Noah being spoken of as having grace. His family aren't spoken of here, and we're not given a full picture of their state or standing before God, other than we do know that they were called and saved from that flood. And indeed, Noah's... And then coming on to our next point concerning Noah. Having said that Noah had found grace in the sight of the Lord, indeed, we can read on and we see that he has some of those marks of true grace within his life. For we read in verse 9, Noah was a just and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. And here we have some practical lessons for ourselves in this day and age. And notice, Noah had found grace in the sight of the Lord. Did this excuse Noah to continue like those round about? Did it give him a license to say that he could live like the rest of that generation? Did it give him that license to continue in sin? No, it didn't. Noah knew that he had to live an upright life and walk with God. He knew that he had to be separate from those round about. And indeed, this is something the Apostle Paul is very strong on through God's word in Romans. For we all know what the opening verses of Romans chapter 6 says. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And even in this book of beginnings, we begin to see that God's people are called to live a life of holiness and to be separate from those round about. Noah knew this. He lived an upright life and strove to walk with God. And if Noah was to walk with God, he was then to walk contrary to those round about. For how could he walk and be upright and yet still walk in sin? He would have found himself in opposition to those round about almost on a daily basis. And indeed, perhaps one description that could be used of Noah and those that walk not in the ways of the ungodly is found in that first psalm, Psalm 1. And those first opening verses there. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And here we have this description of those that walk not with sinners and with the ungodly, that don't sitteth in their seats or take counsel with the scornful. Rather, they're described as being blessed. And indeed, this could be used of Noah and all those down throughout the generations who have walked contrary to the world and to its ways. And indeed, verses like this teach us so much about the way we're to live, our lives and our attitudes to God's word, if we're truly his people. For we know to walk with God is the very opposite of what the natural man desires. Noah, by walking with God, would have been separating himself from the world and sinners. Indeed, the words separate or separatism are words the modern church doesn't like, or modern Christians don't like. They have such phrases as, we got to be in the world to win it. My friends, as I've said, we're called out from the world. Then why should we want to stay in it? Our second point we come to is Noah was obedient. When we read this passage, we read of the instructions given to Noah. He was given specific instructions concerning the ark. He was told to make an ark of gopher wood. He was told to put rooms therein. He was told how to furnish the ark. He was told the length, the height, the breadth of it. He was told to bring provision into it. These were all instructions that were given unto Noah. And what did Noah do? He followed these ones. Indeed, in that verse 22, we read, thus did Noah according to all that the God commanded him. Here, we have it being told of Noah that he followed God's word unto him. He didn't leave out some part of the ark. He followed it in the whole. And like Noah is here found obeying God's word in the building of the ark, we too should also follow God's word. We don't find Noah saying, oh, it's too hard to build this ark. It's too hard. Or I'll be rickadilled if I do. I'll be slandered if I do. I'll be mocked if I build this ark. No, he trusts in God and sets himself to the work. And indeed, we should show a like obedience. Neither do we find Noah questioning God's plan for the ark. We don't find him saying, surely there is a better way. We could use this way to save people. What about this method? And indeed, this is in contrast to those in this day and age who employ their own means, worldly means of salvation. Indeed, God had ordained the ark to be that means of salvation. And perhaps the modern churchman would have looked at Noah building this ark and have said, look at what little success you're having. Look, there's no one coming unto you. The world continue. And they don't give any thought to the heed, to the building of thy ark, the ark thou art building, and the preaching that thou is undertaking. But look, Noah was following God. Noah had had that direct command from God. And indeed, it is through the foolishness of preaching that sinners are saved. And what perhaps if Noah had said, he could have left out bits of the ark, or left out bits of timber, cut corners here or there. And if we think of a modern ship being built, it must have sufficient structure, strength, and beams put in to support it and to enable it to withstand the roughness of the sea. And indeed, this would be said of the ark would have been weakened if Noah had left parts of it out. And indeed, this is the same with our obedience with the word of God. We cannot say, oh, we'll obey this bit, but that bit's too hard to obey. For to disobey the word of God in one part is to weaken the whole church. A church may say, the Bible version used doesn't matter. But then before long, standards and prayer have slipped. And then so it goes on. Worship standards soon fall. And then before long, dress standards have slipped and modesty. And so once one part is weakened, other parts are soon weakened. And before long, there is a complete departure from the word of truth and in what the church stands for, to almost a state where it is undiscernible from the world round about. Indeed, it is fast sinking and is not fit for purpose. And indeed, this warns us that in our lives as individuals and as a church, part obedience of God's word is not an option, for we must be obedient in every part. We also learn from Noah that he laboured here. It's very interesting, this point, in that this obedience that Noah had to God's word meant that he must labour. And indeed, the Christian life is one of labour and of striving for the Lord Jesus Christ. Noah lived at a time when men's life expectancy was well into the hundreds of years. And Noah's time upon the earth was given its 950 years. And for 100 years of this, Noah was caused to build this ark. Indeed, perhaps in our terms of our lives, this would be like us undertaking some task for maybe 10 or so years, if God was to grant us 90 years or so upon this earth. You know, it could be said of Noah that he started this ark in his mid-age. But we notice that we don't find at any point during Noah's labouring that he murmured unto his God. We don't find him saying, oh, I'm finished now, someone else can take upon this task. We find Noah labouring until that work was complete. And likewise, we are also to labour in the word of the Lord. We are to labour for Christ. There is no such things spoken of in God's word as retirement from serving Christ, for we must labour to the end. And indeed, this example of Noah building the ark teaches us and shows us the example that we are to labour on day by day, that we are to continue in following God's word, and that we are not to be idle in our Christian walk, for we must acknowledge the Christian path and labour is not a path of ease. And then Noah also knew of pending judgment. Noah had been told by the Lord, by God, in that chapter we read, that God says, I will destroy them with the earth. God gave Noah direct revelation concerning his will for the judgment at that time. And Noah, at the same time, was then instructed in this building of the ark. And as Noah knew of a coming day of judgment, do we also realise and know that we look for a day when the Lord Jesus Christ will return? Indeed, we've said that that description found in verse 5 so aptly describes our state, our current situation, the world round about. And indeed, we find Noah's day made reference to in God's word. And speaking of the judgment that we waited for when the Lord Jesus Christ will return. And if we turn to Peter's second epistle and chapter 3, we find a reference made to the flood in connection with the judgment of the world. And that second epistle of Peter, chapter 3 and verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are there within, shall be burned up. Noah was told of God's pending judgment for the earth, and so are we. We're not told of when that day of judgment will come. All we know that it will come. And we know that we live in the end times. We know that the times we live in are exceedingly wicked. And this should indeed be a warning unto us. Are we prepared for the return of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we looking for it? Are we longing for it? Are we looking for that day? Or do we have no thought for that day? My friends, don't be overtaken with that day when it comes. For when that day cometh, the door of salvation will be shut up. And indeed, there will be no way in for those that have not made Christ their Saviour. So those of us that believe, let us be looking, watching and praying for that day. And those of us that have not put our faith in Christ, let us take heed to those warnings that are found in Genesis and in that epistle to Peter of the warning of that coming judgment and the return of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, the ark was in preparation for 100 years, and yet only 8 souls entered in. It's a telling fact that the people of that day and age would have seen this vast structure being built. They would have been passing by it. Yet we don't see any inquiring of Noah how they can enter in. We don't see any of them turning unto the Lord in repentance. And indeed, our own Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, quotes back to these days of Noah. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Here we have Noah's warning by the building of the ark unto the world of a pending judgment to come. And we see no one taking note. And indeed, as in preparation, one of the commentators comments upon this. It's quite a telling fact. He says, every blow of Noah's axes and hammers was a call to repentance. And indeed, how many axes and blows of hammers would have fallen upon the ark in construction? And each one would have been a call unto repentance. It would have been a warning of judgment to come. Yet so few heeded that call. So let therefore none in our midst here this morning be ignorant of that fact, that this world is reserved unto a day of judgment when our Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will return. And then in this passage, we also have found before us a faint foreshadowing of Christ in the person of Noah. And there's just briefly 3 points concerning the person of Noah I'd briefly like to look at here. And the first one is that Noah was given as a blessing unto his generation. Noah was a preacher of righteousness in that day. He declared forth unto them God's judgment that we've just said. He showed unto them a way of salvation. And indeed, Christ, well upon this earth, clearly set forth the means of salvation through his life teaching. Christ was that man approved by God. And like as Christ, and indeed Christ was so ignored by the masses of his day and age. The unbelieving Jews scorned him, mocked him, and didn't want anything to do with him and ignored his warnings. And also Noah, in his day, was caused to preach God's word, was declared forth to set forth God's ways, and he was also ignored. Notice then, also Noah built this ark into which animals could enter. In this very act, Noah was providing a refuge into which these creatures that could not save themselves by any means could enter. And just as those animals that entered into the ark could not save themselves, neither can we. We can only enter into that heavenly ark, into heaven, through Christ. And as Noah went before to prepare a place for his family, Christ has also gone before us to prepare a place, to prepare a heavenly kingdom. Indeed, we read of Christ saying, I go to prepare a place for you. Christ has prepared a place for his people, not some earthly vessel like Noah prepared, but he has prepared a place of everlasting rest. Also, we find Noah providing substance for those that were to enter into the ark. And again, is not this something that our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, provides? He also provides substance for his people. Christ is able to sustain us through our most severe trials upon this earth. He is able to satisfy our souls with that spiritual food. Christ is spoken of as the bread of life, which if a man partakes of, he shall never hunger. And here we have just perhaps three very faint foreshadowings of the work of our Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come to the end of our considerations this morning, we have seen that Noah was one that feared God rather than his fellow man. Noah was one that walked with God. He forsook the ways of this world, and in doing so was separate from it. And so should we. Noah was also in complete obedience to God's word in the construction of the ark. And so should we be in our obedience of God's word. Indeed, let us not cast out any parts of God's word, but hold it in its whole entirety, not neglecting any bit, that we may indeed make sure that our bulwarks that we build up are strong and sure against the attacks of the adversary. Noah looked for that day of judgment. Indeed, so should we. We know that that day cometh. Let each one of us be found looking for that day. And also, as we said, there's this very faint foreshadowing found here in the life of Noah, of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. In that Noah was given as a blessing for his generation. He provided a place of refuge and provided substance for those that went into the ark. And indeed, this can also be said of our Son, of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps in our final point in our considerations this morning, in this very passage, there are two points here. One is a warning to the unsaved, and another a comfort unto those that know Christ their Saviour. Here we find Noah completing that work and then being called into the ark. We find it in that very first verse in chapter 7. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. Here we read of Noah not delaying to enter in. And this is also a warning to those that do not believe upon the Son, on God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, the Lord says unto them, come thou and enter in, and let those that do not profess Christ to be their Saviour this morning take heed of such warnings as this. But then what are those that have turned to Christ and know Christ as their Saviour? And when Noah's work was done and he was called into the ark, we can take this ark to be a symbol of heaven. This shows that once we have served our purpose on this earth, we likewise shall enter in. Noah laboured for 100 years before he was caused to enter in. Indeed, we're called to labour well upon this earth and then to enter in. And may each one of us here this morning be found labouring well upon this earth, thus at the end we may be able to enter into that heavenly kingdom when we're called after our labour upon this earth is done. May the Lord bless these thoughts and our considerations this morning unto our souls. Amen.